Good morning, church. This morning at the first service, someone made a comment to me and say, I've not seen you in the church for a long time. I say, actually, I was only away for 1 week. I recently went for a surgery on the 16th of May to fix my intestine because it was joined to some fats. And because of that, you know, if I don't eat my food slowly or I swallow my mushroom or I swallow my fruits, the food gets stuck in the intestine. So there was a layer of fats that pressed onto the intestine, and the intestine was pressing on the womb, and as a result, my intestine was squeezed. Yeah. So instead of being able to function properly, there was a bit of challenge there. All right, so I was on 2 weeks of hospitalization leave. Today is the last day, but I had a good rest. Thank God for that. All right, and thank God for a good surgery. Yeah. Yeah, so the sermon that I'm preaching was a sermon that I was due to preach in March, which I gave SP a heart attack, you know. I told him that I was in the hospital. Yeah, and interestingly, Elder Edwin Chua from PPH came and he shared on intercessory prayer. I was really happy. I thought it was a very good sermon. The sermon that I prepared is also in the line of prayer, but from a different perspective. So I'm very glad that today I have the opportunity to share it with us. Honestly, in the sermon preparation process, it's always coming before God with a blank piece of paper and say, God, what do you want to say to this congregation? Because they are so educated, they are so informed. You know, so sometimes it's really not what we want to say, but really, God, what is your word for the congregation? So I came before the Lord. I wasn't in my room kneeling down and praying. I was out running, and every time I on my exercise on a Saturday morning, I don't listen to music, but I talk to God and I hear what He has to say. And as a result of that run that day, you know, this sermon came to being and I started the preparation. So today we are going to study the life, the prayer life of Daniel and why prayer matters. First, we go into a bit of context on the book of Daniel, all right? The meaning of Daniel's name is, God is my judge. Daniel was a Jewish young man in exile, together with the nation of Israel. He was chosen to serve in the Babylonian king's court because he exhibited exceptional qualities. And he likely belonged to an upper Jewish family, all right, an upper class Jewish family. He served four pagan kings, Nebuchadnezzar, Belshazzar, Darius, and Cyrus. And all of them showed him favor. The book of Daniel was likely written between 540 to 530 BC. And there is historical and archaeological evidence that prove that the book of Daniel is authentic. Let me give you some. All right. First of all, in Daniel chapter 5, the existence of Belshazzar. Critics have argued that Belshazzar was a fictional character as an ancient source, only because ancient source only listed Nabonidus as the last king. However, the Nabonidus cylinder found in the 19th century, excavated in Iraq, okay, ex-Babylon, okay, and they were excavated, and this Nabonidus cylinder was excavated by the British Museum and is displayed there. All right, found that in this calendar, it confirmed that Nabonidus spent much of his reign in Arabia and left his son Belshazzar as co-regent, explaining why Belshazzar offered to make Daniel the third ruler, all right, of the kingdom. So this is one evidence, archaeological evidence. The second archaeological evidence is the identity of Darius the Mede in Daniel chapter 6, verse 22. Critics doubted the existence of Darius the Mede as well, but inscription suggested that he could be Gobryas or Gubaru, a governor under Cyrus the Great, who ruled Babylon after its conquest. So this Cyrus cylinder was also excavated by the British Museum in 1879. All right, so the inscription tells of the identity of Darius the Mede. It confirms that he played a key role in the Babylon's fall and supporting Daniel's account. All right, it's also being displayed at the British Museum. All right, next, Prophet Ezekiel mentioned Daniel in his writing. In Ezekiel chapter 14, verse 14, 14 verse 20, and 28 verse 3. Let me just read Ezekiel 14, verse 14. He says this, even if these men, Noah, Daniel, and Job were in it, they would only deliver themselves by their righteousness, says the Lord. And there are many more, but there's one more final one that I want to share with you, and that's this. Jesus quoted the book of Daniel in Matthew chapter 24, verse 15. Jesus said this, "Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place, whoever reads, let him understand." So Jesus was talking about the prophecy that Daniel received about the great tribulation that would take place before he returned for the second time. Now we have cleared the authenticity and the context of Daniel. We want to look at three aspects of Daniel's prayer life and why it matters. And we will talk about the points as we move along. But let's read Daniel chapter 6, verse 1 to 5. "It pleased Darius to appoint 120 satraps to rule throughout the kingdom, with three administrators over them, one of whom was Daniel. The satraps were made accountable to them so that the king might not suffer loss. Now Daniel so distinguished himself among the administrators and the satraps by his exceptional qualities that the king planned to set him over the whole kingdom. At this, the administrators and the satraps tried to find grounds for charges against Daniel in his conduct of government affairs, but they were unable to do so. They could find no corruption in him because he was trustworthy and neither corrupt nor negligent. Finally, this man said, 'We will never find any basis for charges against this man, Daniel, unless it has something to do with the law of his God.' The administrators and the satraps knew that the king had planned to set Daniel to be in charge of the whole kingdom, and they decided to set up an edict, a political trap to find fault with his faith in God. The satraps were the representatives of the king who were in charge of the various provinces in the kingdom, and they convinced the king to set up this edict, and no one was able to worship any other gods or humans except Darius." Now let's read Daniel chapter 6, verse 6 to 10. "So these administrators and satraps went as a group to the king and said, 'May King Darius live forever.' The royal administrators, prefects, satraps, advisors, and governors have all agreed that the king should issue an edict and enforce the decree that anyone who prays to any god or human being during the next 30 days, except to you, your majesty, shall be thrown into the lion's den. Now, your majesty, issue the decree and put it in writing so that it cannot be altered, in accordance with the law of the Medes and Persians, which cannot be repealed.' So King Darius put the decree in writing." Now, when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, he went home to his upstairs room where the windows opened toward Jerusalem. Three times a day, he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to God, just as he had done before. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the record of Daniel's prayer. And Lord, even as we hear your word, Father, we ask that you will build our faith. And Father, we ask that, Lord, you will speak to us personally and as a body of Christ. And that, God, may we be empowered by you to live passionately according to your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Daniel did not allow the edict to stop him from praying. He knew what the consequence would be, but he continued. He went upstairs, which means that he will be visible to all who were watching him. And not only did he went upstairs, he went to a room where the windows were open toward Jerusalem. And he didn't just pray one time. He got down on his knees and he prayed three times a day, giving thanks to God. He made it too easy for his political opponents to catch him. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, what is stopping us from praying? For Daniel, it was a trap. It was a political scheme against him. But he did not back down. Firstly, prayer matters because Daniel prayed despite the risk. It was a 30-day edict to not pray to any other gods, to any other humans, except to Darius. It was obvious who this was for, but we know Daniel didn't stop. He could have done it behind closed doors. After all, it was only for 30 days. He could have done it without anyone knowing or seeing, but he decided to stick to what he has always been doing without fearing what the consequences would be. It reminded me of a time when COVID took place and we could not gather for a period of time. While we were not in exile, per se, we could not meet up as a church family. How was our prayer life then? Has it grown stronger or did it become stagnant? What hinders us from praying? A common reason would be we have no time. We are too busy. Well, if this is our difficulty today, I invite us to ask God to help us make a change. We need to make time and space for prayer and not be trapped by the mindset that we do not have time. We always will not have time if we don't plan for it. We need to make time for prayer, just as we make time for a lot of things that matter to us, like going on a holiday. How many of you have booked your Japan trip for year end? Don't put up your hands. How many of you have made your Korea trip for year end? Don't put up your hands. We make plans for holidays, right? Because it's important, right? And if you can settle the dates earlier, you buy the ticket at a cheaper price. Correct or not? We are all very savvy nowadays, right? So I remember last year, my family, my husband was going to Korea to play some table tennis competition. So I was tagging along. And then after that, the younger one says, actually, can come along. Then the older one says, she has school. They say, okay, let's buy the tickets. So I think we bought the tickets in July or August. Our traveling was in November, I think. And then suddenly the big one say, 2 weeks, 2 weeks before the trip, she says she can make it. Well, I look at the air ticket price, very expensive. I was very tempted to tell her, cannot, too expensive already. But I thought through and I said, cannot. I don't want to go down the history book of my family and then she start accusing me for the rest of my life that I did not allow her to go to this trip because of money. So cannot have any stain on my record. Okay, buy the bullet and pay for the ticket and go. I hope that next time I can charge her back. Make last minute trip hall and say, hey, can you pay for my trip or not? That kind of thing. Hope lah. Joking. You know what I mean? We make plans so that we can get a better deal, etc. Correct? So, a lot of people nodding your head, right? Well, very savvy, right? So today, I want to encourage us to make time for prayer, just as we make time for our holidays. The truth is not that we don't have time. The reality is we don't make time. That's all. If it is something that's important to us, we will make time. And it is a mindset change that needs to take place. Otherwise, we will allow this inconvenient, no time reason to be a barrier. We do not have an edict to restrict us. If you are going to pray 3 times today, you're not going to be thrown into the lion's den. All right? But we need a mindset change if needed. Daniel held a high position in the kingdom and he surely had his fair share of work duties. Yet, he set aside time. 3 times a day, even though when he knew it was going to cost him greatly. Daniel made time, even though he knew his conviction to pray would cost him. He would be thrown into the lion's den if he was convicted by the authorities. And we all know he was thrown into the lion's den. It was a price he was prepared to pay on his life. We don't have to pay the price like that, right? Today, probably we only have to pay the price of some adjustment and inconvenience. Another possible hindrance to praying is likely our self-sufficiency. Prayer is usually not our first response to God because instinctively, like all good Singaporeans, we try to solve the problem first. We try to find alternative solution. We exhaust all options before we come to God to seek Him, to ask Him to intervene or to ask for wisdom or to ask for solution. When Daniel continued to pray despite the edict issue, then Daniel chapter 9 verse 10 informs us that he gave thanks to God just as he had done before. He didn't complain to God. He didn't lament. He didn't ask for a solution, but he gave thanks. All right. And Daniel could have gone to the king. Daniel could have gone to King Darius, leveraged on the favor that the king had for him, and fought his cause, fought for freedom of religion. He was, after all, a big shot in the administration. However, he didn't. He went to the King of Kings. He went to the King of Kings to give thanks. His prayer could have been, Lord, I thank you for being with me. Thank you that I can pray. Thank you that I can honor you. I want to encourage us, the next time when we face a crisis, we come before God with thanksgiving. Why? Because we believe and we trust in His deliverance. We believe and we trust that He can come true for us. Daniel had seen how God delivered his friends from the fiery furnace. What could the lions do to him? In July last year, I got to know a new visitor by the name of Tony, and I hosted him in the hosting room and learned that his wife, Clara, was diagnosed with acute lymphoblastic leukemia in June 2024. In early July, she started on chemotherapy, but after two cycles, the doctor said that the chemotherapy didn't work on her, and the cancer cells in the bone continued to be high. By the end of July 2024, she started on immunotherapy and completed one cycle at low dosage as it was too painful. In August, a few days after her immunotherapy, she experienced excruciating pain, and the CT scan showed that her intestines have ruptured, and an emergency operation was called to remove the infected intestine, and she had to be put on a stomach bag. After the operation, you know, she experienced the presence of Jesus. She saw the light of Christ beside her, was very real to her. And even then, after the op, after her experiencing Christ, her white blood cells was low, her BP was also low. Tony's friend Joy, who is a member of LSBC, canvassed for prayer for her, for Clara. I know a cell group was praying for her, supporting Tony. The healing rooms members were praying for her, and I also received regular updates to pray for Clara. Thank God, during the August-September period, Clara's older sister was confirmed to be 100% bone marrow match. And in September, while her infection continued, the doctor ordered the immunotherapy to restart. And in the words of the doctor, do also die, don't do also die. So, because if usually someone has an infection, they will not start on immunotherapy. But thank God, her condition improved and she was in isolation ward for 3 months. And during those times, Tony continued to come for service regularly and the healing room's members continued to pray for him, and her second course of immunotherapy went well and Clara did not experience any pain. Praise God that she could finally receive her bone marrow transplant, and the doctor confirmed in February this year that her body has accepted the bone marrow transplant 100%. Praise God for that. However, time passed since March, and I think it was in March, we also received news that Clara's cancer came back. Yeah. And when I was preparing this, I asked Tony and Joy about sharing this testimony, and we all agreed that indeed the bone marrow match was a miracle, and we felt that it was right that we give glory to God. But Clara has gone home to be with the Lord recently in May. The church prayed for her. We prayed really hard. The cell members prayed. We all prayed. We were believing for a miracle, a turnaround. But this time around, the infection, the illness, the cancer took a toll on her body. And we trust and we believe, we are assured that she's with Jesus. So to continue to keep the husband in prayer is not easy. And even saying yes to sharing this was something that he felt he really wanted to honor God for. Yeah. And you know, sometimes we don't understand why God does not answer prayer the way we want, like healing for some. But that should not be the reason why we should stop praying and believing. When we pray and the situation don't turn out the way we want, let's trust God that He has a better plan. Let's not allow our disappointment to hinder us from praying and believing that God can do all things. Amen. Secondly, prayer matters because it is the means by which Daniel intercedes. In Daniel chapter 9, verse 1 to 23, it records for us Daniel's intercession for the nation of Israel. Let me just read parts of it, and I'll read parts of chapter 9 throughout this point. In the first year of Darius, son of Xerxes, a Mede by descent, who was made ruler over the Babylonian kingdom, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood from the scriptures according to the word of the Lord given to Jeremiah the prophet, that the desolation of Jerusalem would last 70 years. So I turned to the Lord God and pleaded with him in prayer and petition, in fasting and in sackcloth and ashes. Daniel knew the word from the Lord and from the prophet Jeremiah, what season Israel was in at that point of time. They were in exile because they didn't obey the Lord, and this exile will last 70 years. He interceded and pleaded on behalf of his nation. To intercede is to pray on behalf. Daniel pleaded with God on behalf of Israel. And although Daniel was righteous before the Lord, he identified with the sin of Israel. And let's read this intercessory prayer, which I think is very important. From verse 4 onward of chapter 9, this is what Daniel prayed. I prayed to the Lord, my God, and confess, Lord, the great and awesome God who keeps his commandment of love with those who love him and keep his commandment. We have sinned and done wrong. We have been wicked and have rebelled. We have turned away from your commands and laws. We have not listened to your servants, the prophets, who spoke in your name to our kings, our princes, and our ancestors, and to all the people of the land. Lord, you are righteous, but these days we are covered with shame. The people of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem and all Israel, both near and far, in all the countries where you have scattered us because of our unfaithfulness to you. We and our kings, our princes, and our ancestors are covered with shame, Lord, because we have sinned against you. The Lord our God is merciful and forgiving. Even though we have rebelled against him, we have not obeyed the law our God or kept the laws he gave us through his servants, the prophets. All Israel have transgressed your law and turned away, refusing to obey you. Therefore, the curses and sworn judgments written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, have been poured out on us because we have sinned against you. You have fulfilled the words spoken against us and against our rulers by bringing on us great disaster under the whole heaven. Nothing has been done like what has been done to Jerusalem. Just as it is written in the law of Moses, all these disasters has come on us, yet we have not sought the favor of the Lord by turning from our sins and giving attention to your truth. The Lord did not hesitate to bring the disasters on us, for the Lord our God is righteous in everything he does, yet we have not obeyed him. Hello, God is calling. Now, Lord our God, who brought your people... Wow, y'all pay attention, huh? Okay, verse 15. Now, Lord our God, who brought your people out of Egypt with a mighty hand and who made for yourself a name that endures to this day, we have sinned and we have done wrong. Lord, in keeping with all your righteous acts, turn away your anger and your wrath from Jerusalem, your city, your holy hill. Our sins and the iniquities of our ancestors have made Israel and your people an object of scorn to all those around us. Now, O God, hear the prayers and petitions of your servant. For your sake, Lord, look with favor on your desolate sanctuary. Give ear, our Lord, our God, and hear. Open your ears and see the desolation of the city that bears your name. We do not make requests of you because we are righteous, but because of your great mercy. Lord, listen. Lord, forgive. Lord, hear and act. For your sake, my God, do not delay, because your city and your people bear your name. Notice that throughout Daniel's prayer, he identified with the sins of Israel by using the pronoun we so many times. Daniel knew the time that Israel was in. God judged Israel for their disobedience, and this led to 70 years of exile being ruled by foreign kings. He didn't take for granted that Israel will be released from the exile after 70 years. He asked the Lord for forgiveness and for God to act on their behalf. Daniel didn't just assume things will get better after the 70 years of exile, just because there was a promise. He pleaded with God's righteousness and mercy. Prayer matters because God looks for people to stand in the gap and to intercede. And this is what Ezekiel records for us. In Ezekiel 22, verse 30, he says this, "So I sought for a man among them who would make a wall and stand in the gap before me on behalf of the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found no one." God is looking for someone to stand in the gap on behalf of the land so that he will not destroy it. And God wants to act upon our intercessory prayer. Jesus interceded while he was on earth as well for Jerusalem. Example we can find in Luke chapter 19, 41 to 44, and Matthew chapter 23, verse 37 to 39. We not only have to pray for ourselves. I mean, it's good to pray for ourselves, to pray for God's blessings upon us. But we also have a spiritual responsibility to pray for Singapore and for the nations. God wants to see someone stand in the gap for the nations. Singapore is turning 60. We have developed and we have matured. There are many pressures to conform to liberal views. However, we need to know what God is calling Singapore to. We are affluent for a reason. Not so that we can be comfortable, but so that we can be a blessing to the nations. As the Lord has blessed us, may we be a blessing to the nation, firstly by praying for them. A lot of countries are in challenging and difficult situations. Personally, if it has been a while since you have been on a mission trip, it would be good to pray and ask God, God, how can I be a blessing in the mission field? Where do you want me to be? When I was preparing for this message in during Feb and March period, you know, we all know that election was taking place, right? And now election is over. We need to pray for our leaders who needs to navigate through different political lauta, you know, all the big brothers up there fighting, you know. We need to pray for our government, pray for our leaders, that we must not take our peace, our stability, and our security for granted. Neither should we take our present moral tone for granted. And so I want to encourage us, really, to intercede for Singapore, to intercede for the nations. We need as much prayer as possible and not take for granted all the blessings we have is going to last. It's going to be forever and ever and ever until Christ comes back. All right, I want to encourage us to do that. Thirdly, and my final point. Are you happy with the final point? Yes, I am. Prayer, but it's going to be quite long, so, you know, just raise your hope higher. Prayer matters because God revealed greater things to Daniel. Daniel chapter 9, verse 20 to 27. It's going to be long, and while you hear me read, you may not even understand, but it's okay, I'm going to explain, all right? Here in Daniel chapter 9, verse 20 to 27, God revealed greater things to Daniel. While I was speaking and praying, confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel, and making requests to the Lord my God for his holy hill, while I was still in prayer, Gabriel, the man I had seen in the earlier vision, came to me in swift flight about the time of evening sacrifice. He instructed me and said to me, Daniel, I have now come to you to give you insight and understanding. As soon as you begin to pray, a word went out, which I have come to tell you. For you are highly esteemed. Therefore, consider the word and understand the vision. 70 weeks are determined for your people and your holy city to finish the transgression, to make an end of sin, to make reconciliation for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the command to restore and build Jerusalem until Messiah the Prince, there shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again and the wall, even in troublesome times. And after the 62 weeks, Messiah shall be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the prince who is to come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. The end of it shall be a flood. Until the end of the war, desolations are determined. Then he shall confirm a covenant with many for 1 week. But in the middle of the week, he shall bring an end to sacrifice and offering. And on the wing of abomination shall be one who makes desolate, even until the consummation which is determined is poured out on the desolate. Okay, good. You made it, to the hearing, I'm going to explain, okay? First of all, we all know that Daniel saw Gabriel. He saw him like a man, but we know his angel Gabriel who came to dispatch a message from God to Daniel. In Daniel chapter 9, verse 22 to 23 that we read earlier on, here it says, he instructed me and said to me, Daniel, I have now come to give you insight and understanding. As soon as you begin to pray, a word went out, which I have come to tell you, for you are highly esteemed. The revelation that Daniel received from God was something that would happen in the future. What happened after the 70 years? All right, so in Daniel chapter 9, verse 24, it's about God's redemptive timeline. 70 weeks are determined for your people and for your holy city to finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, to make reconciliation for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. So this part of the prophecy talks about the restoration of Israel after the 70 years of exile, which is already fulfilled, and what would happen after the 70 years. Okay, what will be happening to them? And God has set a specific timeline for Israel's restoration, dealing with the sins and bringing eternal righteousness through Christ Jesus. So this is the first part of what, this is what Daniel chapter 9 verse 24 is talking about. Okay, there will be reconciliation and there will be righteousness that the land of Israel will experience. Then in Daniel chapter 9 verse 25 to 26, talks about the arrival of Messiah and the sacrifice, and his sacrifice. And let me read the passage, the verse again. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the command to restore and build Jerusalem until Messiah the Prince, there shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again and the wall, even in troublesome times. And after the 62 weeks, Messiah shall be cut off, but not for himself. So the first part of this prophecy talks about the rebuilding of Jerusalem, which is about taking, which took place about 444, 445 BC, when Nehemiah rebuilt the wall. And this was the start of the prophetic countdown until Christ came. And after 62 weeks, okay, which is 434 years, which is a symbolic time frame, the Messiah shall be cut off. And many scholars have agreed that this is the death of Christ, the crucifixion of Christ, when the prophecy talks about the Messiah will be cut off. All right. Next part, and the people of the prince who is to come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end of it, and the end of it shall be with a flood, and till the end of the war, desolations are determined. So this is the third part of the prophecy, starting with the people of the prince, talking about the Roman destruction of Jerusalem in AD 70. And many scholars have agreed that this has already been fulfilled. Not in Daniel's time, he was given a future picture, but in our time, it's already fulfilled. Okay, they agree that it is talking about the AD 70 period where Jerusalem was destroyed by the Romans. All right. The final covenant and desolation, which is found in Daniel chapter 9, verse 27, this is something that is yet to be fulfilled. It says this, then he shall confirm a covenant with many for 1 week, but in the middle of the week he shall bring an end to sacrifice and offering, and on the wing of abominations shall be one who makes desolate, even until the consummation, which is determined, is poured out on the desolate. This prophecy is not yet fulfilled. It points to a future ruler who will be the Antichrist, and he will make a covenant of peace with Israel for 7 years. And somewhere during the seven-year period, he will break the covenant, all right, and he will reign as the Antichrist, and then a great tribulation will come. God revealed to Daniel these details as he interceded for Israel. And it was even information beyond his time, so that people like us can continue to pray for Israel and for ourselves. So many people, this part, many people, there's a lot of discussion on Daniel chapter 9, verse 27, because people say, when will the church be raptured? Is it before the great tribulation? Is it after the great tribulation? There are Bible evidence for both. Okay, I have read many of it, and I have come to the conclusion that, God, please spare me from the great tribulation if possible. I don't want tribulation. I want to be a pre-tribber. But if the great tribulation comes, then help me to be ready. And if I have to go through it while I'm still alive, you know, because buy and sell will be an issue, you will have difficulty and all that, help me to be able to survive the great tribulation. So I have not tried to impose any views on anybody. I just hope that by the time it happens, and if it happens in our lifetime, okay, either God takes us home or we survive the great tribulation. Be prepared lah, huh? Because if you say it's pre-tribulation, when the great tribulation comes and you are in it, well, you'll be very disappointed. then you may not survive, right? So that's my point. So this is the very simple, summarized version of what I think of the rapture of the church. All right? Because if we want to go into the details, I think you will miss your lunch. You don't want to miss lunch, right? Okay. Yeah, it's an excuse for me to not tell you more. Otherwise, I'm going to bore all of you and you all will walk out of the sanctuary soon. All right? There is a lot more to this. I'm just giving you a very simple summary. The Antichrist will come, whether he's here when we are here or whether he's here and we are not here. Let's pray that God will help us to be faithful to the end. Amen. All right. So for Daniel, when he was interceding, the point I'm making is this. As we begin to pray, God will give us understanding and revelation of what he is doing. He shows us more than we ask for. And I ask that we'll continue to watch and pray and align ourselves to his word and his purpose. So prayer is not just coming to God with a list of requests. It is about interceding. It's about standing on behalf of others, of the nations, of Singapore, and then hearing from God what he reveals to us on his heart and continue to pray more. That's the point that I'm making. And that we will, as we begin to seek God in his presence, as we begin to pray and intercede, he will show us his heart. Amen. I want to conclude and I invite the worship team to get ready. You know, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, my heart is that we shall grow in our personal prayer life and also unite in prayer as a body of Christ in LSBC. Prayer is very important. It's a very important part of our discipleship journey. Through prayer, we connect with God, we communicate with him, we hear from him. Through prayer, we intercede on behalf of others. Through prayer, we receive insight and understanding from him regarding the times and the seasons that we are in. We cannot afford not to pray because God uses prayer to advance his kingdom, and we need his people to pray according to his will. We can do many things to make things happen. Correct. We can do many things, even church things. But I want to say this, that the one person that eventually makes things happen is God himself. He is the one. Let's really strengthen our prayer life by making time to pray and also praying together corporately. We have brought back the corporate prayer meeting this year and we have called it Prayer Watch. I encourage us to make time for it. As a body of Christ, it happens twice a month. You can choose either of the dates, but June, you only have one date, all right? So 8th of June. Hopefully, all of us can make it, all right? Try and come for prayer. I know it's not easy. I know there are adjustments to be made, but I believe that it's important to pray together as a church family. This year, we have an initiative called the Together 153. So you see these cards here, right? So far, we have received 600 cards. And if you have not submitted a card, may I encourage you to submit a card. You can collect the card at the reception area, write down the names of the people that you know you believe that they need to receive Jesus, to hear the gospel, and to know him. I want to share a short testimony, but I cannot mention name. All right, on the 8th of May, when we were praying, someone actually picked a card, all right, and it belongs to one of his friends, and he prayed for the friend that was written, the name of the person, all right, that was written here, all right. And then they prayed. And recently, last week, I heard the person that was being prayed for came to know Christ. There are many other testimonies. I have no time to tell you. I mean, in recent months, we have heard great, wonderful conversion stories about how God's presence, how God delivered people, and they come to know Christ. And I believe that in this season, right, God wants to really fuel that in our lives, to fuel prayer, because a lot of things can happen when we begin to pray, when we begin to intercede. You know, we talk about the land lease renewal of the land and need to give money. It's important, all right? But we need to also continue to pray for our next generation, for the seniors, for the new people who are coming in, as well as our outreach to the community, that God will do something powerful in all that we are doing for him, you know, that God will touch lives, God will move powerfully in our midst, and God will move powerfully through us. Amen. And all this can only happen when we as a church collectively come, pray and believing that God is going to do something. You know, so these prayer cards, please remember to submit every prayer watch we will pray. The people who come for a prayer meeting will get a name, and we're going to pray and believe that we will reach the 153 target of souls even before December. Amen. And that we ask God for an overflow of souls in His kingdom. Amen. Amen. What is a sermon on prayer without praying together? That's why I end my sermon quite early, because I want us to pray together for one another, for the church. Ask God to intensify our desire to see His kingdom come, that we will come together, that God will just enable us. God will just want us to pray for the church, for ourselves, for the nation in the coming days, and that we begin to see God's move in our midst in a greater measure. Amen. Can I invite you to partner with one another, and let's take the next 5 minutes to do that, just to pray for ourselves. Pray that God will intensify in us the desire to pray, and that we will moving forward, we will all really pray for whatever He has put in our hearts. Can we do that in the next 5 minutes? Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I will ask Steph to lead us in this song, Waiting Here for You, as a prayer to God that we are here waiting for Him in prayer and expecting Him to move. Yeah. Shall we all rise? And even as we sing this song, if some of you here needs prayer, you know, you need healing, or if someone here is experiencing insomnia, not able to sleep well, you know, you come and we will pray with you. Or any other areas, in your life that need healing, you just come forward. And if you are not yet a believer, today I invite you to come, talk to us. We want to pray with you, want to share with you more about Christ. And we believe that God wants to reach out to you this morning, this afternoon as well. And so even as we sing this song, come forward, and then we will sing this as a prayer to God. Father, we come before you. And Lord, we ask in the name of Jesus that, Lord, will you refuel in our hearts this desire to pray, to intercede. That God, you will enable us to make time. And Lord, you will help us to pray for what's on your heart, for ourselves, for people, for this nation, and the nations beyond, Lord. And that, God, we ask that in the coming days, Lord, that we will hear from you, we receive insight, understanding as we seek your face. Lord, you will show us your heart, oh God. And that, God, we will continue to pray more according to your will, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. And Father, we ask for your blessings, the blessings of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit to be with us. That even as we go far from here, the God will receive your blessings, and that, God, we will be a blessing to wherever you call us to, Lord. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you.